Now we move into the 48th chapter of Ezekiel, the last chapter of Ezekiel. And the first 29 verses of this chapter tell us how the land was divided up among the tribes and what portion of it was given for the use of the temple. This division of the land among the tribes is different from the previous division under the time of Joshua. The first 7 verses tell how the land was divided among 7 tribes to the north. And the way this is lined out, the tribe at the very northernmost end was going to be Dan, and his borders would extend from the east to the west side of the land, and then adjoining Dan, immediately to the south, would be Asher. And of course the borders of Asher and each of the other tribes extended all the way from the east to the south, so that each tribe seemed to have an equal amount of land, and each tribe was joined on its southern border by the next tribe just to the south of it, and all tribes seemed to have an equal portion of land. We'd like to note here that Dan, although it's mentioned first, when it was given the territory under Joshua, was mentioned last. Dan is going to be the furthest away from the temple. And this may very well be because Dan was the tribe that first seemed to have gone into idolatry, as we learned from the story of Micah and his idols, which the tribe of Dan stole in the book of Judges. So the tribe just to the south of Dan was to be Asher, and then south of Asher was Naphtali, then Manasseh, then Ephraim, then Reuben, and then Judah. And Judah would be the last tribe in the northern section of the land before the boundary of the land, which was set aside for the temple and the Levites and the prince, began. We'd like to point out another major difference, and that is that Reuben is next to Judah, instead of originally being over on the east side of the Jordan and fairly well removed from the rest of the nation. Reuben is one tribe away from the territory that's designated for the temple. Now, this laying out of the tribes has to have spiritual and figurative connotations, because the land was never divided and occupied in this manner. It seems that these borders were 25,000 reeds long, and just south then, and adjoining to the border of Judah, was the territory that was set aside for the temple and the Levites and the prince and the city of Jerusalem itself. And this territory then was 25,000 reeds wide and 10,000 reeds broad. Now, no one is sure exactly what the length of a reed is, but using the common computation of a reed equaling about 10 feet, this would make the east and west boundary about 50 miles wide, and the north and south boundary about 20 miles long. So we have an area here in the midst of these tribes, with Judah on the northern boundary, and Benjamin's going to be on the southern boundary. That's about 50 miles by 20 miles. And verse 8 says, "And the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblation," verse 9, "that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 in length and of 10,000 in breadth." So this is called an oblation. It was a land set aside primarily for the use of the Lord, with the sanctuary, that is the temple, being located in the midst of it. Verse 10 says, "And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation." So the priests were going to have a part of this territory that was set aside just for them. They would live here. They wouldn't have any other territory. They wouldn't have any other tribal division given to them. But this part that was set aside for the Lord, this part that had the sanctuary in the midst thereof, a part of that would be divided for the Levites. Then in verse 11 he specifies that it was going to be for those priests that were of the sons of Zadok. "It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray." So because Zadok and his sons had remained faithful at a time when the other Levites went astray, then they were the only ones who were privileged to be allowed to serve as priests during this time, showing that God wants his servants to be faithful. He recognizes the faithfulness of his servants, and he then disqualifies those who show that they are not faithful. He disqualifies them from being priests in this sanctuary. We today as Christians are all priests in this great spiritual sanctuary. And so we must be faithful. Faithfulness is demanded. And without being faithful to God, we lose our right. We lose our privilege. We lose our position of being a priest in the sanctuary of God. Verse 12, "And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites." So this part of the land was considered to be a holy land. It wasn't to be used for secular purposes like the rest of the land could be used. It was set aside. It was the first fruit, so to speak. It was exclusively for the use of the service and the worship of God, and it was to be considered to be a most holy land. Verse 14 explains, "And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord." So it wasn't to be used for trade or commerce. It wasn't to be sold. It wasn't to be used in any way to alienate it for the first fruits of the land. It was to be kept in its original purpose, and that purpose was to be for the service of God. And this seems to teach us a lesson about the church today. The church is not to be used for commercial purposes. It's not to be used for any kind of personal gain. That's not the function or the duty of the church. It's not to be used in some way to make a profit or to make money or to be secularized by becoming involved with commerce. The purpose of the church is to render service to God, to carry out the will of God. It is not to be alienated with secular things. It is holy to the Lord, and it is to be considered then like a kind of first fruits. The priests who work there, which are the Christians, of course, they also will live there. That is their vicinity. That's where they will stay, and it'll be then reserved for the service to God. We'll close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.